Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and today we're doing the last chapter of Deuteronomy. This is chapter 34. We've gone through the five books of Moses now, and this chapter has 12 verses, but we've got four pages of commentary on it, though. So, this is talking about the death of Moses. Lord, we ask that you anoint this chapter in the mighty name of Jesus, and that we realize that this was the great warrior of God. He served you for 40 years, and let us come to terms with the fact that if Moses had to die and all the other prophets had to die, we also have to die. We're going to have to come to terms with our death, that on the day we die, we have to keep all the commandments. Otherwise, we're going to be very frightened when we realize at any moment we're going to be giving up our spirit, and that it's going to go somewhere, and we know that it's either going to heaven or hell. And we can be very happy and very bold if we know that we're saints and that we've kept your commandments, that where we're going. And Moses, even though he knew he was going to die, he continued keeping your commandments. He blew it once, Lord, but that was it. And he continued instructing Israel and was obedient to the Lord, to you, Father, when he was told by you, Jesus, to go up to the mount and die. And he did all those things. He still pressed on towards the mark until he gave up his spirit. And therefore we read in the New Testament that he appeared to you when you were transfigured. And so therefore, this should encourage everyone to continue on in the faith. And if they've blown it, just to continue on, peradventure, you will give them a lot of faith in that they're saved and going to be in the kingdom of heaven on the day of their death, the moment of their death. Because we're all appointed to die, and after this, the judgment. We're not coming back again. It's a final thing. So this life that we have here is final. We have to live it according to your rules and regulations if we want to get to the promised land, the land of milk and honey, the kingdom of heaven, the eternal kingdom of God, and that we totally escape the eternal pit of hell and the eternal lake of fire. Lord, let this give us another day of power and strength to continue on in you, Father, in you, Jesus. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, so chapter 34, Deuteronomy, verse 1.
The death of Moses. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan.
Now, Gilead to Dan is saying from west, north to east till west. That's what Gilead to Dan is, just an expression that they always use in the Bible, this saying from east to west. Everything in the land. Okay, so that was a very high mountain. Then what else?
Verse 2, and all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. Verse 3, and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. Verse 4, and the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither.
Not in the flesh, not in the human body, he won't. And what else?
Verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. Verse 6. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day.
Now, the Lord hid his body so that no one could find it. Otherwise, they would have put him in a coffin and built a shrine unto him, and they would have worshipped Moses. The Lord doesn't want you worshipping his creation or any of his prophets or even his mother, Mary, because all she was an incubator for the Lord to be in until he was born. That's all. And then after that, there wasn't any deity about her whatsoever. That which was in her is deity. We of ourselves are not deity, but when we become born again of the Spirit, deity is in us, but that does not make us deity. The Spirit that is in us is deity, and we become part of this, our spirits become part of that deity if we continue keeping his commandments, if we sin no more. But that doesn't mean that we, apart from the Lord, are anything, because apart from the Lord Jesus, we can do nothing, and we are not anything. And if we start sinning after we've become born of the Spirit, we're less than nothing, because we're totally condemned, and we're going to pay for it eternally. Then go ahead.
Verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated.
Right. They didn't have any vitamins and minerals or anything like that, health food stores to go to. But he was obedient to the Lord, and so the Lord caused it to where he had perfect eyesight and his strength was still there. Now, the Apostle Paul, his eyes were really bad because there were scales that came upon them, and I had the same thing as scales didn't come upon my eyes, but I'm legally blind, and so the Lord does different things with different people. Paul had to be many times with companions around him all the time in order for him to get around good, because he was blind spiritually, and he was actually killing, murdering, and making sure that Christians were murdered. So when he got saved, the Lord took his natural seeing away from him, and he prayed three times to have that seeing back. A lot of theologians don't know why it was that he was praying three times for a thorn in his flesh, but he really explains that in his writings. He said at one time that at one time you people loved me so much that you would have given me your very eyes if it were possible. And then he said, look at how large of a letter I've written, how large I've written this letter. I wrote it all by myself. And I've written letters all by myself too. Well, why would any person that had natural 20/20 eyesight be bragging about the way they write? Amen?
Amen.
Or why would they be saying, you would have given me your eyes, your 20/20 eyes, if there wasn't something wrong with their eyes? Some people just don't seem to figure out the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
But that's what was the trouble with him. And sometimes, for our own benefit, there are things that the Lord has given to us that cause us to not fall away from the Lord. I'm glad in this hour of temptation that I don't have good eyes, that I'm legally blind. Because there's probably a lot of stuff around that I shouldn't be looking at. Amen?
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe if I did look at it, I would fall away. I could be looking at something, and a lot of people think I'm seeing it, but I'm not, okay? Just like a lot of times Susie and I go out to eat. We were at the Brown Derby one time, and I'm just eating away. She all of a sudden, I hear her talking to some woman. And she said, he's not looking at you. He's looking at something. What are you looking at, Tony? And I said, nothing. I'm just looking, because Or she said, "What are you looking at?" And I wouldn't be looking at her. I'd be looking at my wife. I'd be looking at something, a picture on the wall or something, because I have a tunnel vision. And if, in other words, I have to look directly at you. A lot of people think I have peripheral vision, and I'd be looking at a chair over here or a picture on the wall, and some people would be thinking, because my eyes are, a normal person's eyes might be directed, or the peripheral vision might be, you'll think that it's on you. But I honest to God, was not looking at anybody. That's before God. I was not looking at her. And then another time I was like slicing some meat, and the knife slid, and the gravy went off and went right up a guy's tie. Well, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff, right? And then one time we were in the courthouse, and there were three police officers. And I believe me, I know that there's some good police officers, because I've met a whole bunch of them when I was in prison for the gospel's sake. And they were just lying about us, these three guys in Beverly Hills courtroom. And so they had a recess, and so we went down into the lunchroom where they had vending machines and coffee, and I wanted some change, you know, and Sue and I and some of the kids from the church were sitting there. And so I just got up without asking, and I went over to the table where there was these four guys, and I said, "You guys got any change?" And they just looked up at me, and like, real weird-like, and they shook their heads, you know, real slowly, "No." And Susie says, "You idiot, those are the cops that are lying about you in the courtroom, and they think you're taunting them. They think you know who they are." And I swear before God, I didn't. I didn't know who they were. So, you know, you've got, this is maybe the Mr. Magoo ministry, right? All right, so there's many cases like that. And a lot of, most people know that that's the way I am, that are around me. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, okay, so... All right, so let's go on. But, you know, I think it's a blessing. I don't miss... I see good enough to get around, but I can't see a lot of times the people that are in front of me, you know, more than 20, 30 feet. Can't make out their face. A lot of times I'll think that one of the brothers is some other brother or something like that. And... a lot of times people say they say that person's waving at you. You know, when we're walking down the street, and they just say, "Wave." I said, "Who is it?" And they say, "Well, wave." And so I did. And they, we can't think of his name, but he's waving at you. So I wave at him, you know, and they say, "Oh, yeah, now I remember who that guy is." And they tell me, and I say, "Oh, God, thanks for telling me." And, you know, Sil used to do that for me, but there's not anybody around that really tells me who's around nowadays. When I go downtown or someplace, and I really don't get out that much anyway. Yeah, all right, and I always have to have somebody with me. There's always some kind of person driving me. That's why it's very hard to accuse me of doing something wrong, because there's always myself, and a lot of times my sons, a lot of times my wife is with me, and a lot of times other people too, like Sam Ford, driving me and stuff like that. So, you know, it's hard to accuse me of anything like that. That's why everybody knows that when they brought all these false charges against me, that they were just as bogus as could be. All right, let's go on.
Verse 8.
So that really helps out in these last days. Because with Moses, you know, there wasn't any newspapers back there out on the wilderness, or television stations or anything like that. But with me, you know, there is newspapers and television, and they've said so many slanderous things that it's unbelievable. And I can really get off the hook, because I said, "Look, if you're accusing me, I've always got people around me, and they'll testify that I didn't do that. And besides, I can't even see. I'm legally blind." And at one time I was even getting blind aid. Susie told me to get it just to show, to prove to people that I was legally blind. And I said, "It's an embarrassment, because we don't really need it. It's for the people that need blind aid. Just to what I tell you, I was new in the ministry. And then later I just waived it completely. All right, then go ahead.
Verse 8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Verse 9, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses.
Yeah, when I think I've told this several times before, but when the Lord was showing me the vision that I was to be married to Sue, it showed her in the vision, and her hair was cut. And I didn't know it. She just cut it that night. And I was in her congregation. And I came over to her and knelt down. She was laying on a couch where she had on a velour pants and shirt. And it showed us kissing. And I was sleeping in a deep sleep because I had a toothache and it went away. And I started pushing myself up. It was like a very real dream vision, and it was in color and it was vivid, very vivid. And I pushed up and I said, no, not my Bible teacher, no. I just pushed myself up and I was wide awake then, and the vision was still there, and it changed from color to wrought iron where we were, it showed our profiles. And that wrought iron was like hot, burning white iron. And it was shimmering and was going down into my mind and into my soul, into my heart and soul. And it was, then there was these like puffs of smoke. It was actually the Spirit coming down from heaven around me saying, it's true, 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 it's true. And it was like it's like a ringing sound, like on a telephone, that even similar to it on a telephone, but it's like, but it was God's telephone telling me it's true. And that's what happened there. That was that vision. And read that verse again.
Okay. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom.
And at the same time when that was happening, the Spirit of the Lord was pulling all kinds of questions. I said, no, it can't be. No, and it was, then it would, he'd overcome it. It's true, it's true, it's true. And then other questions would rise out of me. And then pretty soon the questions were coming out so rapidly, I couldn't even know what the questions were. He's pulling them out of me. And at the same time, he was pouring like millions of answers into me. And answers and things that I don't know what they were, the things that he was piping down into. It was a solid stream, like a stream, a strong, very strong stream of the Spirit going into me while these questions were coming out. So I assumed that it was a bunch of answers that the Lord was giving me. And ever since then, before that, I never felt that I was able to answer. I didn't feel qualified to be her husband, and I didn't feel that I had any wisdom to do it, but that, now I know that that was the Spirit of wisdom that was coming into me to be her husband, and that I was able to be a pastor, and I was able to know the things and discern the things that the Lord is saying in His Word. And that I had to study the Word too, which I just felt, before that I didn't feel like I was capable of being her husband, because she was like 9 years older than me, and she was so wise, it was unbelievable. And all of a sudden I felt that I was a dominant over her because of that Spirit, those answers that were coming into me. And I couldn't figure it out, but I felt like I was definitely her husband. And I was definitely able to, you know, be her head, to be the head of her. And ever since then, people, that we had a large ministry. It just, we woke up everybody in the whole Los Angeles area with our witnessing and testifying on the streets. And At that time, people were saying God is dead. And at Christmas time, they weren't even putting any lights on Hollywood Boulevard or around town and up around the Saugus Newhall Valencia area out in West Hollywood and out around Beverly Hills. You wouldn't see any Christmas lights or anything. Then after we got into the ministry, people now are saying God is alive. Amen. And this is 40 years later after my salvation, and she was saved about 30 years before my salvation. And like when she was 9 years old, she was 39 and I was 30 when we got married. And the what they call the Jesus movement began with us. It started and it's spread throughout the entire earth. And ever since then, all the people in the church, I get asked questions by the thousands, and somehow I know the answers because the Lord put them in there. And when the Lord puts the wisdom in you, I see right here that he did the same thing with Joshua. Amen?
Amen.
He gave them the spirit of wisdom. And believe me, it is a spirit. And if you seek for the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, if you seek for the different gifts of tongues and interpretations, there is a spirit that gives you, the Holy Spirit will give you those spirits. But you, I didn't have to ask for it because I didn't ask for it. I had a desire. I just, in my heart, I was saying, I wished, you know, that God would give me a woman like that, because to me, all the women in the world were pigs. I mean, I had never met a decent woman in my life. Never. And she was the first decent woman, and I noticed her because there were a lot of men around. And sometimes we, at that time, didn't even have a car because I lost everything that I had, my Cadillac, everything. And so we'd get on the Metropolitan bus, and she wanted to go downtown, and she wanted to introduce me to the full gospel Christian businessmen people and the different people in the missions downtown. And she wanted to go to Clifton's cafeteria down there and introduce me to that. And she just showed me everywhere around Los Angeles, out in the Santa Monica area. She introduced me to Reverend Herman and Marie Beats that had a mission down there. And Kenny and Billy Feldman, his wife's name is Billy. And they all wanted to make me an assistant pastor because they knew I'd done a lot of money-making in my life, and they all thought I was a multi-millionaire. They didn't realize that I lost everything, that the Lord stripped me of it, because I would have relied on the money rather than the Lord's Spirit, I guess. And so there is a definite spirit of wisdom, and the Lord gave that to me, and he also opened my ears. And even the old-timers would say Tony Alamo has the hearing ears. He hears from the Lord, and I do hear from him. And when I got jealous one time of Sue, she was praying a guy through. I don't know why I got jealous. I trusted her more than anything. But they were just like clapping, playing. You know, when he got saved, the Spirit came down, and she was just like clapping her hands, and then he clapped his hands against hers. And the Lord started saying, deny thyself to me. Deny thyself, deny thyself, deny thyself. And I, in other words, be happy that this guy's getting saved. And I was happy, but I just didn't like him to, you know, do that with Susie. And then all of a sudden, I just got more and more angry, and the Lord plugged my ears up, and I couldn't hear from him for a long time. And then at the time of Susie's death, she was in a coma, and she came out of that coma. She sat up in her bed and put her hands on both of my ears, and she said, Lord, open his ears. And I felt the plugs go out, and the Lord started talking to me again. And I could feel the Spirit and everything. So that's really a supernatural ministry, isn't it?
Amen.
And that just taught me a lesson to tell, pass on to other people. Don't be angry at people or be angry against what the Lord is telling you. I used to tell me to deny myself, deny thyself, deny this. And I wouldn't listen to him, and he plugged me up. He said, you're not going to listen to me? I'm going to just plug your ears up. So, you know, let that be a lesson to you. I'm a testimony here to testify to you that I haven't been a perfect citizen in the Lord, you know. didn't obey him on those three rebukes right there. And I told him, Lord, I am denying myself. I quit smoking. I don't drink. I don't take drugs. I don't do any of these things. And I've been on a fast now for days. What else is there to deny myself of? He wanted me to deny myself of my own spirit, my own will. Okay? That's what he wants people to deny themselves of, your own spirit and your own will. Some people say, well, he wants to deny you of food or to have a wife, or to, when you have a wife, to have sexual experiences. That isn't what he wants. As a matter of fact, he commands you to have sexual relationships with your wife and the wife with the husband. But he wants, because that's a commandment, and if you deny, if a wife, you know, because she maybe thinks that she can deny her husband that, she can get in a lot of trouble with the Lord for doing that. And if a woman, and she is due benevolence, that's one good thing that it says in the Bible. If she is due that type of benevolence, well, then the man has to give her her dues. So there's a lot of wisdom that God has given me in that spirit when he was pouring it into me, and I know what the Bible says. All right? Okay. And so here, this really brings home this verse here, the spirit of wisdom he gave to Joshua. That's really something. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't have it, you're sorry. You're really sorry. Pray for wisdom, knowledge, the fear of the Lord, the wisdom of God. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? And to have he poured in understanding, the spirit of understanding as well. And the spirit of knowledge, to know what to do. Wisdom he gave me, knowledge and understanding. Here it says he gave him wisdom, the fear of the Lord to do what he said. But I got wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the fear of the Lord, and I got a lot of stuff that time. And he pre-programmed me with a lot of things because he pushed me right from being a dead in the sewer evil person into a saint, just like overnight. And he wants me to stay that way, and he wants everyone to be that way. He doesn't want anyone to go to hell. All right. All right, so there's only 12 verses here. I already took up half the time. All right, go ahead.
And verse 10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Verse 11, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Verse 12, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel.
See, it tells you right there that God is a terrorist. Amen?
Amen.
That's just one of the places. It gets more graphic later on in the Bible. God will literally terrorize his people that don't listen to him. Okay, now translation.
The death of Moses. Then Moses went to Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab and climbed Pisgah Peak, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead as far as Dan. Verse 2. All the land of Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah extending to the Mediterranean Sea. Verse 3.
One thing I want to add is that, like, when the Lord gave me the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding like that, I had hardly read the Bible at all. I had just got saved. And that was the way it was with the Apostle Paul. I mean, he got all this wisdom, knowledge, and understanding right away, but he went away for several years to study the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
But he got it, and he knew what to do. The Spirit drove him out to someplace to study the Word of God. And he said he never conferred with flesh and blood. He didn't go to any of the apostles to learn the Word of God, but he studied it himself. And you hear a lot of people copping out saying that, well, my husband doesn't read with me, or my wife never reads with me, or anything. It doesn't. My wife didn't read with me either that much. We may have read the Bible just a very few times since we were saved. But I loved the Word of God. I ate it up. I didn't want to wait for her or anybody else to read the Bible. She's busy witnessing somebody or fixing her hair or putting on makeup or something like that, and I'm studying. And then when she's tired and sleeping because she got cancer, I'm up in the closet. There was a light in there with a magnifying glass, and I'm studying the Bible like you can't believe, because I knew that I had to study it to be a workman approved of the Lord. Okay, and that's you have to study the Word. Even though God gives you the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and fear, and all these other spirits, you still have to study the Bible all the more. Because the Bible is, the Lord hides a lot of the wisdom in the Bible, and it has to be sought out. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what we have to do, is search the Scriptures, not just read them. And when you're searching the Scriptures, actually what you're doing is a lot of people consider this Bible to be a book, but it's actually a person. Amen?
Amen.
It's Christ. It's God Himself. So you have to start knowing that this book, this is not a book, it's the person. If you want to get to know that person, you got to study it. You got to study him. Amen?
Amen.
That's not a book. That's a person. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So study that person, because that person is the one you really need to know. Amen?
Amen.
More than anything. That's not a book. It's a person. And when you start getting enough faith, you're going to realize it's not a book. It's a person. That's God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And as a matter of fact, the Word was God. Amen?
Amen.
And that person, the Word of God, came down to this world in a man. Amen?
Amen.
And God wants this man, this Word, inside of you. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of people just carry it, you know, with them and stuff. But He wants it in you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, keep going.
The Negev, the Jordan Valley, toward Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, This is the land promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I told them I would give it to their descendants. I have now allowed you to see it, but you will not enter the land. Unquote. Verse 5.
It is true. Because God is the truth. So if you want to know the truth, study the man. Amen?
Amen.
And then when you get to know the man, then you'll know that's not a book. It's the man. It's God Himself. He said He's very nigh. Right here. Amen?
Amen.
Have you got a copy of the man? Huh?
Yes.
They do, all of you?
Yes.
Okay, well, know Him. All right, praise the Lord. Keep going.
So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, just as the Lord had said. Verse 6. He was buried in a valley near Beth Peor in Moab, but to this day no one knows the exact place. Verse 7. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyesight was clear, and he was as strong as ever. Verse 8. The people of Israel mourned 30 days for Moses on the plains of Moab, until the customary period of mourning was over. Verse 9. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him, and did everything just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 10. There has never been another prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Verse 11. The Lord sent Moses to perform all the miraculous signs and wonders in the land of Egypt against Pharaoh, all his servants, and his entire land. Verse 12. And it was through Moses that the Lord demonstrated His mighty power and terrifying acts in the sight of all Israel.
All right, praise the Lord. That was the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, and that was the last verse. And now we've got four pages here of type pages of commentary.
34, verse 1 through 8. The land Moses was allowed to see from Mount Nebo was that which God promised to the patriarchs. In Hebrew, quote, thought to see it with your eyes, unquote, was a symbol of acquisition by which property became legally that of the viewer. Genesis 13, verse 14 through 15. Thus, Moses was accepting from God ownership of the promised land on behalf of all Israel. 34, verse 1. The top of Pisgah likely refers to the summit of the ridge of mountains. 34, verse 9 through 12. Moses' epitaph emphasizes God's unparalleled intimate knowledge of him. The book of Deuteronomy shows us the steps of knowing God and his ways. Deuteronomy focuses on how God brings his people to maturity. He will not allow us to skip any of the steps in the process and will make sure we complete it. There are steps to dynamic devotion. Deuteronomy also adds much to our understanding of being devoted to God with all of our heart and soul. Deuteronomy emphasizes the need for wholehearted commitment. God calls his people to pursue him with all of their heart, all of their strength, and all of their might. In Deuteronomy, there are also steps to holiness. Holiness means being separated and distant from the world. Deuteronomy gives much insight into the positive discipline for building lives that are fully dedicated to God. Holiness means being separated from the world and also distant and distinct from the world, completely different than the world. Also, Deuteronomy teaches to seek out God and to wholly depend upon God's presence. Without it, victory is very unlikely. It is not possible. It is impossible. Study God's word faithfully and carefully. Apply it to all your thinking. Apply it to everything that you think and everything that you do. God will show his goodness and greatness to you and his power. Seek God's face continually. Commune with him continually to do that and separate yourself from the world. Do not neglect prayer, scripture, and also meditation. The book of Deuteronomy teaches us to practice scripture memorization and meditation, to fix God's word in your consciousness and allow it to change your behavior. Seek out from the scriptures the ways God wants you to live and practice them so that your life will be pleasing to him, and when it's pleasing to God, he's going to bless you. Understand that when you choose any action, you choose its consequences as well. Every time you think of something to do, think of the consequences as well. God will not bless or prosper any disobedience, any unfaithfulness.
You have to practice discipline of your mind, the way you think. You have to practice thinking positive and thinking according to the word of the Lord. You have to just constantly be practicing that. It's like practice, like people cannot be a great piano player if they don't practice. They can't be a great basketball player and boxer or anything there is in this world, pilot or whatever, unless they practice. You can't be a good minister of the gospel unless you practice. And you have to pray. You have to practice thinking of what God, who he is and what he wants you to do. And you have to practice, you have to think about it, you have to constantly think of what the consequences are going to be if you don't do what he says, and what the consequences will be if you do what he says. It'll be great. And what else?
Deuteronomy teaches us guidelines for growing, maturing in godliness. Deuteronomy gives much attention to practices that will help you live with a continual God consciousness, making more and more room for him in your life. Godly people are careful to maintain proper attitudes and disciplines in their relationships. Deuteronomy also explores how to maintain a proper regard for the authority God's Word has in life and conduct. In Deuteronomy, there are steps to dealing with sin. It is important to deal with sins of heart and attitude before they fester, poisoning our lives and resulting in hateful actions that will cause us to be hateful to other people and then cause our souls to be cursed here in this world, and then our souls will be cursed into hell and the lake of fire forever. There are keys in Deuteronomy to moral purity. Deuteronomy reiterates that moral and sexual purity are essential to covenant loyalty to God and for our prosperity and to get rid of curses. God's standards cannot be compromised and are in stark contrast to most every social standard. These social standards are those among whom God's people dwell. Deuteronomy teaches guidelines to gaining victory. Many scriptures point to our involvement in active spiritual combat, in which we must conduct ourselves as good soldiers. No wonder, then, that learning how to gain victory in this warfare is so important. Deuteronomy teaches us to guard against pride amid God's blessings. Whenever God blesses us, a lot of people get filled with pride. Know that prosperity often brings arrogance, causing us to forget that God is the source of all blessing. Measure your conduct and attitudes regularly according to God's word. Test all ministries by God's word. Reject any ministry that does not measure up to the Bible. Also, give attention to proper parental discipline. Rebellious children bring shame to their parents and dishonor the Lord. Also, guard against bitterness in your own heart and among God's people. It must often cause people to turn away from God. Turn away from fear, faint-heartedness, and discouragement. All unbelief is sin. All doubt is sin. Trust in God's presence. He promises to be with you always to keep you from fear. Also, remain mindful of your proneness to sin in turning away from God. Acknowledge and rely on God's strength and abundant provision. Value virginity. Do not be ashamed of it. Shun today's casual attitude towards sexual relationships. Realize that God places a high premium on sexual purity. Flee from and detest adultery and honor marital fidelity. Understand that God rejects adultery and will always judge it severely. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. Trust your battles to Him and rest in His victory. He will fight for you. Be confident that God will supply the dynamics for all He demands. Understand that our life in Christ is a life full of faith, not doubt. Depend upon His constant provision.
All right, that was Deuteronomy and commentaries. And I know that if you're sincere with the Lord, that this is going to add a lot of life to you this day, cause you to stand, and I know that the Lord is going to prepare something special for you tomorrow to give you another meal that will give you the strength to stand another day. We begin with the book of John tomorrow, the New Testament. And so until then, praise the Lord.